This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. When a doctor began the autopsy of an 8-year-old Bloomington Normal girl in January, he started by counting the scars on her body. There were 67 marks signaling extensive abuse, but it was the internal injuries to the abdomen that killed the girl. Her name is Rika Rountree. The girlfriend of Rika's father goes on trial next week for murder. Cynthia Baker allegedly kicked Rika in the stomach, causing those internal injuries that slowly killed her.
Everybody failed her. I failed her.
That's Rika's mother, Ann Simmons. While Baker is the one facing trial, Simmons says there were many others who were aware of the abuse and failed to stop it.
The dragging her through the house, the smashing her face into the wall, the torture that she went through is all the stuff that I tried to tell them that she was going through and nobody would listen to me.
Rika was one of over 100 children who've died in the past year while involved in some way with the Department of Children and Family Services, or DCFS. The deaths have prompted an overhaul of the state agency that cares for children. In Rika's case, the key question is why authorities in 2016 sent Rika to live with her father in Baker, a woman who WGLT has learned was twice before placed on a list of known child abusers. Simmons largely blames DCFS. We spoke to her in prison in Decatur, where she's finishing a 2.5-year prison sentence in a forgery case and for failing to complete the terms of her probation on an aggravated DUI.
Your only position in this world is to protect our children when the parents can't. That's your position, is to pick up where we fall short and try to keep us together. I'm not sure where they dropped the ball at with giving a care about our kids, but they did.
DCFS faces scrutiny for how rarely it removes children from their home. Illinois actually has the lowest foster care entry rate in the U.S. And a study commissioned earlier this year after a string of child deaths, including Rika's, found that DCFS staff don't feel empowered to recommend removal, even when they feel it's warranted. Before all this, before she was a number or a poster child for DCFS reforms, Simmons says that Rika was an independent kid with a big imagination, especially with her dolls.
So I became a grandma of all the little doll babies, and she would go to like yard sales and we'd pick up like strollers and car seats and clothes and Pampers at the store she needed, baby bottles, all that stuff.
Rika was exactly the kind of kid who needed protection. Her family has a history of domestic violence and substance abuse. Rika's parents, Simmons and Richard Rountree, split up in 2015 and later divorced. That family fractured even further in 2016 when Rika was still living with her mother. Police raided her mother's home and arrested Simmons on drug charges. Rika went to live with her father and his girlfriend, Cynthia Baker. By the middle of 2017, court and police records show Rika was raising concerns about Baker. Simmons says that her daughter was visibly fearful around Baker. DCFS investigated Baker for allegedly hitting Rika with a belt, but found no credible evidence of abuse. Simmons says this is when Rika's behavior started to change.
She was just different. She was more reserved. She was really cautious about a lot of stuff, whereas before she was carefree. She ran the house. She was a princess. She did what she wanted to do.
In April 2018, during a visit at Rika's school, Simmons says she was shocked to see her daughter with a split lip, black eye, broken tooth, scars on her neck, and her hair cut really short. When DCFS investigated, Rika explained away her injuries as clumsy accidents at home. DCFS says Rika denied anyone was hurting her in the home or that she was fearful of anyone. DCFS labeled any claims of abuse as unfounded. 4 months later, in October of 2018, Simmons says her ex-husband had made it clear he was done with Rika.
He was telling me that I need to find a knight in shining armor to save Rika because he didn't want nothing to do with her. He didn't want to pay child support. He didn't want visits. He didn't want to be her father. He just wanted her to be adopted out so that he didn't have any obligation to her.
Around this time, the animosity at home between Baker and Rika worsened. Authorities say the staff at Rika's school provided her with a coat, a gesture that authorities said sparked an irate response from Baker. She allegedly accused the school staff of favoring Rika over Baker's own daughter. After the coat incident, prosecutors say Rika arrived at school in December 2018 with two black eyes. School staff notified DCFS. Prosecutors say Baker became angry with school officials for doing that. She claimed Rika was just clumsy and had given herself the black eyes. Rika said she hurt herself by falling on some toys. And so, for the third time in 16 months, a DCFS investigation of Richard and Baker determined any claims of abuse to be unfounded. Baker pulled her daughter and Rika from the school and enrolled them at Prairieland Elementary instead. Simmons was continuing her custody fight for Rika, but a month later, in January of 2019, a judge determined Simmons was not making enough progress on the terms of her probation. He sentenced her to 2.5 years in prison for not completing probation and for a separate forgery case. He said her efforts to get back on track were too little, too late. By then, it was also too late for Rika. On January 26, 2019, Rika became unresponsive after several days of belly pain. An ambulance took Rika to Advocate Broman Hospital. She had a large bruise on her abdomen and was transferred to Peoria. She went into surgery for internal injuries but died on the operating table. A forensic pathologist determined Rika died from peritonitis caused by blunt force injury. Simmons was just over 2 weeks into her prison sentence.
I got called to the chaplain's office. And they called my 18-year-old son, and my 18-year-old son had to do the worst thing he ever had to do in his life. And he had to tell me that my baby girl was gone. She wasn't coming back.
During a 3-month investigation of Richard Roundtree and Cynthia Baker, investigators discovered cell phone videos allegedly documenting Baker's ongoing abuse of Rika. Prosecutors charged Baker with murder and aggravated domestic battery. The state removed 4 other children living in their home, including 2 teenagers who prosecutors said witnessed and experienced significant abuse themselves. DCFS says that Baker and Richard were both indicted for multiple allegations of abuse and neglect related to Rika's death, meaning DCFS believes they were responsible for the injuries. It wasn't the first time that Baker was indicated for abuse. According to court records obtained by WGLT, Baker was found to have caused injuries to his stepchild in 2002 and her own daughter in 2012. Baker's murder trial is set to begin Tuesday. One of her attorneys, Brendan Bukowski, said in a statement she's innocent and they look forward to a jury hearing her case. It's unclear if Rika's father, Richard Roundtree, could also face criminal charges in her death. He hasn't so far. Here's Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner.
That is part of that whole investigation. We certainly worked with DCFS, but we're also working with the state's attorney's office on that. And again, we're cautious as we move through this to make sure that we have, if we do have a case, that we can certainly bring that to a successful prosecution.
As Rika's death plays out in the criminal justice system, lawmakers hold it up as an example of why DCFS needs a major overhaul. Lawmakers point to the 100 or so children who die every year while under DCFS care of some kind. The agency's acting inspector general says that figure hasn't changed since 2013, showing Illinois is failing to improve. She notes DCFS's failure to complete thorough and timely investigations, a lack of clinical supervision of staff who are making life-altering decisions for families, and poor follow-through of past inspector general recommendations for how to fix known problems. In a recent memo to lawmakers, the inspector general wrote, "Management must support its investigators by giving them needed resources. Investigative shortcuts occur when investigators are overburdened." Rika's mother, Ann Simmons, questions why DCFS seemingly believed Rika's own explanations for her injuries. Simmons says DCFS could have done more to make Rika feel safe and be honest.
I said, if y'all go and check on her, pull her out of that place, take her somewhere safe and talk to her, she'll be honest with y'all. I said, at this point, I told them exactly what was going on. I said, they're putting the fear of God in my child. She gonna say whatever they tell her to say because y'all keep leaving her there.
After the July 2017 allegations involving the belt, Simmons says 2 DCFS investigators had only a brief 5-minute conversation with Rika at a bus stop outside the McLean County Courthouse.
And that was it. And it was over with. It was done.
This issue came up during a May 2019 hearing in Springfield when the House Adoption and Child Welfare Committee asked DCFS leadership about a string of recent child deaths, including Rika's. Here's State Representative Ann Moeller, a Democrat from Elgin, asking a staffer about Rika's case.
I look at Rika Roundtree, who went to school several times with obvious signs of abuse and black eyes, broken, missing teeth, and was, told teachers, told the investigators that, she had run into appliances at home or, fell on her toys or whatnot. That's not being used to determine whether or not there's abuse, correct? I would hope. You tell me.
So when we have children and we talk to children, one of the things that we do, we listen to them, we listen to what they want to tell us, we ask them questions to try and specify, dates and time as best we can, because we're talking to a child, so it's a little bit different than talking with an adult. One of the other things that we do is that we ask that person, that child, is there somebody you feel safe with or somebody that makes you feel safe, so that we can use that person as a collateral and that we can go talk to that person. We also hope to utilize our medical providers so that when there are situations that we can go in and we can say, here's what we have. Does this appear plausible? Is this possible that it could have happened this way? So there's a lot that goes into a finding. Yes, we do listen to what the child says, but that's only a portion of what we listen to when we're making our decisions.
With Rika's recurring injuries, why wasn't she removed from the home and placed in foster care? One reason is that Illinois has largely moved away from family separations as a practice. Doris Houston is director of ISU's Center for Child Welfare and Adoption Studies. She's a former DCFS Child Welfare Administrator. She says decades ago, as many as 50,000 children were in foster care. Now it's down to around 17,000.
Is a good thing, but if we are going that route, we have to make sure there are the services available, readily available for families. You know, our society is facing some really complex problems.
A study this year from Shapen Hall at the University of Chicago found that some DCFS workers face pressure to keep families together, even after evidence of abuse or neglect. Houston says the foster system cannot handle many of the cases.
The flip side, though, is we don't always have enough foster parents and foster homes to adequately serve the needs of children. And every foster home isn't equipped for every foster child.
DCFS is still investigating Rika's death. The agency says it's committed to understanding exactly what happened in the case and being fully transparent with the public. DCFS says it's working closely with the new Pritzker administration to review its practices, policies, and procedures to fully live up to its mission to protect vulnerable children in Illinois. This year's state budget includes a $130 million budget increase for DCFS, and the agency plans to hire hundreds of new employees. Here's Doris Houston again from ISU.
I really look at the increases that have occurred this year as absolutely as essential to really get the agency back on its footing in terms of hiring, in terms of resources, even things we don't think of like data management. All of those kinds of things really take resources.
Ann Simmons, Rika's mother, is scheduled to be released from Decatur Correctional Center in December. First thing on her to-do list is finding Rika's remains. She was cremated, but Simmons says no memorial service was held. Simmons also has four sons. She says she wants to try and regain custody of her 12-year-old. She says she wants to share her story.
My daughter should have not have ever died. It should have never been this way. Something has to happen from the beginning, so that the ends don't be like this.
Simmons says she hopes to become an advocate for fixing a system she feels let her daughter down, so medical examiners don't have to count the abuse scars on the bodies of other little girls and boys. Cynthia Baker's trial begins Tuesday at the McLean County Law and Justice Center. I'm Ryan Denham reporting with WGLT correspondent Edith Brady Lunny. This is Sound Ideas.